Jesus has a lot to say about burdens. So I want you to look at this 135-pound weight, and I want you to understand that this is the kind of thing spiritually, psychologically, and physically that you're carrying around in your life every time you worry. Worry is actually another idol. We talked about idols 2 weeks ago. Worry is actually you want to be in charge. You want to be God. Many of us can trust God for eternity. We can't trust him for McDonald's. We can't trust him for our next meal because we're worried that he's not going to provide. Yet, we claim, oh, Jesus, I trust you for salvation. On my deathbed, I trust you. But we can't trust him for temporal things. Does that make sense? It's a control issue. So when we have anxiety, we're taking control and say, God, I know better than you. God, you don't know what you're doing, God, because I have to take charge here, because if I don't take charge, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to provide for me? Who's going to take care of all the things that need to be taken care of? Now, I want to make a distinction. You guys want me to pick this up, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't you think about it.
You got
to
bless first.
Damn, stretch.
Even if I could pick it up, the whole point of this is you could only hold this so long. You could only hold your burden so long before you give in to it, before you become enslaved to it, before it destroys you. This will destroy you if you hold on to your burdens too long. I'll say this for later. But burdens. As I said, this is a personal message for me because of my life. I thank Jesus. The good news is we're going to talk about the problem of the burdens, but then what to do with the burdens, what to do with the anxiety, the worry. I'm a living miracle being up here. The fact, you know, they say the most difficult thing if you're anxious is public speaking.
Yeah.
They say that's the work. Put me anywhere else except in front of people. And that's how I used to be. And this is amazing, guys, that I am up here and I'm able to do this.
Yes.
Only because of the grace of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I backed out, as some of you know, my best friend, John Sobo, if you're listening, John Sobosinski, he was the board president of the Evangel Church here in Scotch Plains. He was crazy, man. I wrote to Ann Landers about him. Cray-cray. You were all crazy kids growing up. That's the cool thing about being a Christian. If you're not a Christian today, what are you waiting for?
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
I mean, he can take the crazy. He can take the people out of control, the anxiety ridden, and make them into something special. But my friend John Sobo, I was so anxiety ridden that I was his best man at his wedding. But on the day of the wedding, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, on the day of the wedding, I got there and I was shaking and so forth, and I backed out of his wedding. On the day, can you imagine? This is so crazy. His wife didn't talk to me for 10 years. Laura, I love you too. And I got them together too. I go, hey, check it, you gotta get together. I got them together. But anxiety can do crazy things. Worry can do crazy things to your life. I just want to give a testimony of, I believe the Lord, he healed me of being worried. It was a process, but he healed me of this anxiety, this horrible condition of being here. And today I rejoice being in front of you, being able to talk without worrying about it. Okay. I mean, now I want to make a disclaimer here. Some of us have a chemical imbalance that we need medication because there's something chemically going on. But the fact of the matter is the vast majority of anxiety is not something like that. The doctors like to throw pills at us, guys. Mm-hmm. They want to throw medicine at, hey, take a pill, take a chill pill. Hey, just take it. And I was on Xanax, right? I took Xanax everywhere. Going to the doctors, take 3 Xanax. But once I took 4 Xanax, and I was like, I'm going to die. I didn't know what. I was in a dentist chair. And I hate sitting. I have ADD. Can you tell? I hate sitting still. And so I took 4 of those little suckers. And it was wonderful at the time. But the point is, my life became dependent on these things. And some of us, we were so used to worry. We got so used to it, it became a habit to worry. Anxiety became a habit. It was a horrible existence to live through. And Jesus, maybe you're not into that extreme, but Jesus wants to deliver you from the bondage, the slavery we're going to see of worry. What is worry? Does anybody have a piece of paper I can borrow? Because I actually left my paper here.
I did.
No, thank you. No problems. Thank you. So, what is worry? Let's look at that Greek word. It's actually two Greek words, and one is a compound verb. It actually means, marimenao, the last part of it means your mind. So what's going on here? When you're worrying, the Lord says, and the scripture says, your mind is actually being divided into two. You're being torn into pieces. You're here to say to me, it just tears me to pieces that my heart was broken because you rejected me. You ever heard that term before? Being torn to pieces. So it says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you are like this, when you're in pieces, when you say you believe in God, but you're worrying about something else, that's why you're torn to pieces. So when we look at these scriptures in verse 25, Jesus says in verse 25, therefore, and there it is right there, he says in five different fashions, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. So verse 25, what is he talking about? Well, that's a therefore, but the translation here is for this reason. Go back to the last verse, we'll go to verse 24, verse 23 and 24. Jesus is talking about the idea of you can't serve two masters, right there. That's what he's talking about, two masters. When your mind is divided, you have two masters, right? Jesus says you cannot exist like this. Now he uses the idea of money, because money is very near and dear to our hearts, isn't it? Because out of life, we all need money, right, to exist. And we think money, a few weeks ago we talked about idols, that money is our God, money is our idol. In fact, we ourselves can be our idol, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. So here he's saying, you can't serve both of these. You're either going to love one or hate the other, but you can't serve two. And if you do, you're going to despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Notice that it's masters. So your daddy is somebody. Your daddy is either God, your daddy is either money, or your daddy is yourself. Or you can fill in the blank of who your daddy is. And also, you're a slave to that. Whoever it is, you got to serve somebody, like we said a few weeks ago. Yeah. You have to serve someone. You are enslaved to someone, whether you like it or not. If you're not a Christian today, the devil is enslaving you, and you don't even know it. The devil is your daddy, and you don't even know it. Because you're in bondage to him, he's deceiving you, he's deceptive, and you're there. Drugs, same thing. Money, we love money so much that it makes it the ultimate thing in our lives, and that destroys us. Now, I want to differentiate also between concern and worry. Concern is something where it's legitimate. You have a legitimate concern. You have to pay the bills and so forth. And you make a legitimate plan to work that out. Control is where you're not in control. Worry is where you're not in control. Worry controls you. You don't control worry. So that's the difference there. Worry is all consuming. It's all you think about. It's almost like your mind can't get off you. You're like in the middle of the night, do you ever like wake up and you just worry about something and you just ruminate over and over and over and you can't go to sleep? That's the kind of worry we're talking about. You may worry about your health issues that maybe never will happen. You just worry about it over and over, and that's what worry is. So you are a slave to whatever controls you. And if your worry controls you, then you're a slave to that. And that's why Jesus, in the next verse, says, guys, therefore, because of this, because of the fact that you can't, I don't want you to be divided, because of the fact that you can't serve two masters, he says, don't worry. That's the command, don't worry. And we're going to see here in the scriptures that, Bob, thanks Bob for reading this. We're going to see that, This really is a theological, how did God heal me? By changing my view of who God is. In other words, by getting a biblical understanding of who God our Father really is. And I thought I was in charge. I said I believed in God, but I was a practical atheist. And some of us are practical atheists today. Some of us, we say we believe in Jesus and we trust Jesus, but we really want control. And so we make all the important decisions. Sometimes we even defer to Jesus. And when it comes to a great burden in our lives, we try to carry this in our lives instead of saying, Lord, you're the CEO of my life. You're in charge. And that's one of the things I had to practice. Who's in charge of my life? Is it God or is it someone else? Is it myself or is it this worry, this burden, this terrible fear I had of having a heart attack? I have chronic atrial fibrillation. So I walk around right now with an irregular heartbeat, as a lot of you know. And I had to surrender that to God, because that's scary. My heart's out of control. I can drop, right? I used to, one day I was at work and I was feeling stressed out, and I thought, you know what? I could just drop to the floor right now. And the sheriff officers will come and take my pulse. They go, oh man, we have to get him to the hospital real fast. And I can say, that's my out of work today. I get to just like fake that I'm dropping to the floor. Because the average person, when they see someone with AFib, they're going to say, get him to the hospital, right? But the idea here is I had to change my view, biblical view of who God is. I had to realize that God is sovereign, that God is in charge, that I'm not in charge. And so whatever burden I had to say, Jesus, I know my heart's out of control, but you're the God of my heart.
Amen.
Jesus, I know my heart's not beating right, but you're in charge of me. I had abandonment issues in my life also. I don't know why, how I grew up, and I have a great relationship now with my parents and all, well, my mom, my daddy's in heaven. For whatever reasons, I grew up with an abandonment issue of being alone. And I don't know if anyone suffers that, but it's not fun because you feel like you're all alone. And so when I would get, my heart would beat fast, I would panic. I would feel like I had to be near someone else in case I dropped dead. And that made me feel anxious and just totally out of control. I remember going to a church. I went everywhere for solutions. The only place I didn't go was to a shrink, because back in the day, dudes aren't supposed to go to shrinks. Back in the day, it wasn't looked on as a proper thing to do. I didn't go to a shrink, but I went to other places. I went to for some counseling. I went to a church, my one Baptist church I went to, Mountside Gospel Chapel. They just said, David, just get into the Bible. Just read the Bible. Just trust God's word. And that didn't work because I didn't trust God's word, because I wanted to still keep control.
Right.
Then I went to a charismatic church, praise the Lord. I went to a Pentecostal church, and it just so happens that, and they were praising God, and we praised God, and we're having a great time, and all of a sudden it happened again. I had a panic attack right in the middle of the service, and I dropped to the floor. And all the guys come over to me and they say, oh, you have a demon. And that made me even more. I'm like, yeah, not only am I crazy, I'm a demon now. I got to get out of this place. So they're about to lay hands on me. Go, no, man. I ran out of there. And we're laughing, but it was a horrible scene. To see all these people like running after me. And I'm just saying, Lord, and I literally cried in the car, like, oh Lord, am I ever gonna get deliverance from this? And God doesn't want us to worry about this.
Amen.
Finally, my understanding, how you think about God, your theology, that's your study of God, how you think about God will determine how you live. will determine what you believe. Will determine how you work. If you really claim to believe in God, you have to have a clear understanding. So in these passages here, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about the presence of God. We're going to talk about the power of God. Right? And here we see here in the scriptures, he says, guys, why are you, don't worry, the command. Don't worry about this. Because look, your life is more than, you know, food and so forth and so on and so on. And he says, look at the birds in the air. How many of you guys watch birds? Who's a bird watcher in this place? I'm a bird watcher. I'm a bird watcher. No, it's a girl watcher. Some of you are girl watchers too. But the idea here is, notice it says, your heavenly Father feeds them. I want you to underline that. That should have been there. Your heavenly Father feeds them. So he's saying to us a couple of things. One, I know your need. I'm all knowing. I know everything.
Yeah.
And I'm also omniscient. That's all knowing. I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. This is something I had to, like, bless my heart, guys.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because, you know, there were many years where I wouldn't go on a walk by myself because I was afraid it was going to happen to me again when I'm alone. Now, when I'm walking, man, I'm walking on the path, this little path. I call it Bunny Way, a little path, and birds are singing. And I'm looking at the birds, and I see a little chipmunk here and there. And the wind's blowing in my face, and I said, Jesus, I know that you're with me. I know that you're omnipresent. I know that you're omniscient. We're going to see, because you know, and it says in another part of Scripture that you know every hair on my head. And there's blessed every ear. You know every sparrow that falls to the ground. You know me. You know me so much. And there's this one beautiful song, and I wish we did it, but I forgot to ask Don. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every need.
Yeah.
And as I walk now, I rejoice in nature. I rejoice that God, you're with me. Jesus, you're with me. You're never going to let me go. You will never leave us nor forsake us. So because of that, in your worries, God's saying, don't worry, it's a sin. I'm your daddy. Money's not your daddy. You're not your daddy. Your girlfriend or boyfriend's not your daddy. Your mate's not your daddy. If they are, dump them because they can't be your daddy. Only Abba Father is your daddy. And he's saying, guys, he's saying, don't worry because I got you covered. I got the McDonald's bill. I got whatever it is that you're worrying about. Your heavenly Father feeds you. And so this is very important because to work this through theologically took some time. But to understand, I used to freak out at hospitals too. Because, of course, if you're a hypochondriac like me as well, I mean, every time I walked into a hospital, I thought, I'm never leaving. Because once I go into a hospital, I might freak out and they may put me in a psych ward or something. And it has to do with when I was 5, my parents took me, they told me we were going to my grandmother's, but I had stomach issues because my parents used to argue a lot, and that causes stress in little kids. Parents, don't argue in front of your kids. Please, take it outside. Grow up. But they used to argue all the time, and I used to get so churned up, and I had stomach issues so badly, and I think this is the genesis of my disorder back then, of which I'm totally cured from. And but they took me. But they took me, said we're going to Nanny's, my nanny, my Italian grandmother. And some, I said, wait a minute now, I'm 5, but I'm not stupid. Wait a minute, we're going in the wrong direction. That's not Nanny's. And I ended up at Overlook Hospital for 5 days. So I think that's where the idea of abandonment comes from and all this, but the idea I want to bring up is understanding who God is will help us live a life, a biblical life. So now, theologically, my whole theology changed. My whole theology has changed even in the last 10 years, where even as a church founder, you know, the contemporary church is a sick church.
Yes, it is.
The model of church, most pastors are crazy. Being honest, there's the wrong motives, there's everything wrong. But they sell you this thing where almost like the church planner is like a god, where the church planner has all these amazing gifts, and a lot of them do have amazing gifts. But it's very easy to become so obsessed with it becomes your idol, like you said. But also, it's very easy to take on a burden you were not meant to take on. It's not my responsibility to save you guys. You're going to have to make yourself. God saves you. God calls you. God chooses you. Jesus died for you. And if you're an unbeliever today, Jesus died for you in your sin, no matter where you are. And that's the cool thing. You're never so far off that Jesus can save you, forgive you, and heal you.
Amen.
And take all your burdens, guys. What an amazing thing. He specializes in the impossible. So I changed my theology. When I first started Oasis Church, and I say I started on purpose, I didn't start. God started.
Amen.
And I thought that, hey, you know, I'm a decent speaker. I have a lot of gifts. It's going to be really easy. Well, it's not easy. And it's not about me or Vince, Pastor Vince. We realize it's all about God.
Amen. Right.
And the idea here is the theology of you're in charge, the theology of God not being sovereign in your life. He's sovereign. You're not in control totally of your life. God is in charge. And when you start with that premise, then you realize, I don't have to worry. Because Jesus, you know, you love me. In fact, the whole point here is, look how valuable you are to God. He says, look, you're much more valuable than birds. It's a priority. You're a priority to God. And that changed me too. So God's presence, his power, he's able to do anything in your life. And he's able, and you're his priority. You're his priority as his dear child. You're his, he's Abba Dad. What father would give his son a rock, right? Even an earthly father. We have a father who wants to take care of us. So coming from that angle, then the pressure of being a church planter, a growing church, of no longer putting the burden on my shoulders that this church isn't growing. It's like something that we're doing. Or if you're working hard at your job and you can barely make ends meet and you're putting all that burden on you, Jesus says, no. Give me this. Give me this. I'll carry this for you. You're not meant to carry this. You're not meant to live like this. Whatever it is you're worried about, whether it's an addiction, whatever it is, you're not meant to carry. You can't carry that. So these scriptures here point to these things. So let's go on to the next verses here. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? It's the same concept, basically, but in a different way. Why are you worrying about clothes? Look at the flowers. Again, look at nature. You ever go by and look at flowers? You ever wonder? Like, I don't know. I'm enjoying nature so much more now because I'm not worried. When you worry, you can't enjoy the present.
Yep.
When you worry, you're thinking about the future, right? And sometimes you even worry about the past. But when you worry, you're cheating yourself out of your present. God wants you to sniff the roses. He wants you to enjoy the journey. So many years have gone by in my life. And thank God that God replaces those years. And the scripture says that. Don't be thinking you wasted your life because you had an issue and you had an addiction or why did I do this? I could have done this sooner. The Lord promises in the scripture that I can't recall right now, come on, brother, help me out, that the God will replace those ears with the locusts and eagles. So it's an amazing thing. So here, you know, look at the nature. Look at nature. Look how God takes care of nature and enjoy it. And that's what's going on here. And he said, look at Solomon, man. He wasn't even dressed like that. He had it going on. He had everything. And look at the grass today. He's saying, look, look what I take care of on a temporal basis. And you're permanent. You have an immortal soul. You're either going to heaven or hell. I mean, but you, look how much I care about you guys. So why are you worried about this? Do you think I'm going to give you up? Man, no, I'm not giving up my kids. That's on a personal note. If I'm an earthly, sinful dude, like I'll die for my kids. I'll give my last meal for my kids. I'll give them my last french fry at McDonald's with tart. I'll do it. I don't like it, but I'll do it. Well, Jesus did it on the cross. He gave us all for you. Do you think he who gave his own son, Romans says, will he not give us everything else? So why are you worrying? So it's all about theology, understanding the power of God, the presence of God, understanding the purpose of God, and the priority of God is you. And he's like, you're his, the scripture says you're his masterpiece in creation. Right. You are the only thing created in his image.
Amen.
Yes.
You, not the enemy. In fact, you were created to rule over, not to have these the environment rule over you. You were created to rule over the environment. You were created to be in charge of that. And so when you worry, what you're doing is you're replacing yourself as God. You're making yourself God. And your theology, you have a wrong concept of who God is. You're sinning, and you have a wrong concept of who God is. Because when you do that, you're saying, God, you might be powerful, God, but you're not going to provide for me. You might be omnipresent, God, but you're not there. I can't trust you, so I have to worry. And Jesus says, worry is stupid. This is a modern translation, a Dave Butler translation. Can it add one moment to your life? All the worrying you do, can it add anything to your life? Jesus said, what does it do? It's stupid, because it can't add anything to your life. Now, we know this in our hearts, but putting it into practice are two different things. And I want to challenge you to start putting this into practice. We're going to talk about scriptures, how to do that. So he goes on, I want you a little faith, and then he says again, so do not worry. That's another command. I guess it's an imperative. That's a command. Do not do this. It's just like do not steal, do not cheat. Honor your mother and father. This is an imperative. He's saying, this is God Almighty, Jesus, telling people, do not do this, because it's going to harm you inside. It's going to ruin your joy. It's going to ruin your present life as it is, and you're going to be going around in a cycle of this turmoil over and over, carrying something you weren't meant to carry. Let me do it. Let me handle it. I got you covered, son. I love it. Here we are again. Look, we're worrying about what to eat, so forth. We're thinking about, you know, our lunch right now and so forth, and our business and all that. And he says, look, for the pagans, a pagan is a heathen. A heathen is an unbeliever. He said, look, guys, when you do this, it hurts my feelings. It's basically what God's saying. He's saying, because what you're doing is you are living like an atheist. You're living like that practical atheist. A practical atheist is someone who claims they believe in God, but in fact, what they do, they live like an unbeliever. Because what does an unbeliever do? They run after that. That word run goes strive. You know, that word strive. Your striving life will burn you out. It will kill you. People strive for things. Hey, let's keep up with the Joneses. Hey, you know, let's go make it happen here. Get all the toys we can. And then tomorrow you're going to die or grow. You strive after all these things, and once you get them, you're not going to be happy. We said it before. It's not going to happen. Why do that? Look, don't live like them. You're better than that. You're better than that. You're better than that. I remember when I was in my old church, Grace Alliance Church, and these old guys, they were Pentecostal, they were charismatic. But they didn't say I had a demon, so they didn't scare me. But they said, all I want to do is pray with you. And they worked through this with me. They were 80-something-year-old guys. The Hilliards. Greg Zanko, he's in the room, and Mike, a couple of others that come out, Grace Lyons, the three of us, and we came to start Oasis. And he sat me down and worked through the theology of this, worked through who God is, who Jesus is, how. David, you don't have to be afraid to be alone. You're never going to be alone, son. God's with you. Even if your father died, and, you know, I love my dad, you have a heavenly Father who will always be there for you. You have to work this through, guys. You can't say you believe something and then go back to worry. Yep. It's unbelief. Don't be claiming you're a Christian. Don't be even claiming you know God if you keep doing that. This is what he's saying. It's tough words. But these guys, they encourage me and they work through. God is always, he's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to see you through because your heavenly Father knows omniscience. Your heavenly Father's Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Your heavenly Father's in charge. If you're having a stressful day and you just want to go to a drink instead of to God, your heavenly Father knows. You have a power. If you're feeling all alone and a little sad, instead of going to pornography, go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He'll fill that deeper spot. Because after you do that, you know what's going to happen. You're not going to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. It's the cycle. It's the trap of the master. The trap of the ungodly master. The trap of carrying his burden and working with you. So he's saying, don't do this. Another not worry. And now he's giving some solutions to this. What's the solution to worry? Besides understanding theologically who God is, that is you. So these guys sat me down, Doty and Gene Hillier. And you know what they did? And we want to do that for you too. They prayed for me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want them to pray for me in the beginning. Because I said, you know, I've been all over. I've done everything. I tried everything. I have my Xanax in my pocket. I don't need you. Yeah, right. But they prayed for me for 2.5 hours. And it's not the time that they prayed, it was the heart behind the time. Amen. You take, hey, like my one friend John Bryan says, no soul saved past the hour. And I'm the hour now. So you don't need to pray long prayers. It's the power behind the prayer. It's the heart behind the prayer. It's the faith behind the prayer. But these guys have the faith. And I used to call afterwards, whatever you have a need, call them. Whatever you need, I want people who, like one of my favorite guys, I call Mike Rempersad. If I want a prayer, brother, I call you. Because you know, yeah, he prays long though. So, the thing is, he has the heart and the faith.
Amen.
So, I embarrass him, but I don't care. He's speaking next week on Father's Day. So, we'll get him back. But the point is, they worked through that with me, and I was able to work this through, this theology through, and then to understand what this really means. And then, so Jesus says, look, instead of doing all these worries, do this instead. Replace your worry with something else. Philippians 4 mirrors this. Philippians 4 is the mirror of really Matthew 6, where Paul says, don't be anxious, same Greek word, maranatha. Don't be torn in two. Don't go to pieces about anything because you're a child of God. Don't go to pieces. Instead, in every situation, pray. There's your tips. Pray with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is worship. You cannot worship God and worry at the same time.
Amen.
It's impossible. You can't worship God and worry. You can't say you're worshiping God today and worrying at the same time.